Thank you for sharing that song with us. You done a good job. Appreciate it. You know, to see these young people that get up and sing like they do, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I'm glad that they are willing to get up. You know, that's hard to do, to get up in front of a crowd and sing. And I'm so glad that they're willing to do that. I want to say I'm glad that the Lord give us the opportunity to be back tonight. And what I mean by that, I'm glad for the opportunity that the Lord one more time has showed His mercy. Another day, the Lord has showed His mercy that the lost have another opportunity. And that's what it is. It's mercy. You know, Brother Miller talked about that rich man, how he's wanting to build his barns to put all of his crops in to store them, but said to you fool, that your soul is going to be required of you tonight. I'm glad that your soul wasn't required of you today, because if it was, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to be back here tonight. So the importance is, the great need is, that you get right with God before it's too late. Because there is a day coming. There is a day coming that your soul, that your life is going to be required of you. And the thing is to make that preparation and be ready. I want to say too that how much I enjoyed and how much I loved our service this morning. It was such a blessing, the testimonies that people told and talked about. And you could really feel God's Spirit. And I've dwelled on that today. I was headed home, and as I was going back to the house and driving back home, the Lord got a hold of me, and I just got filled up and just got happy and started crying. I thought I was going to run off the road because I couldn't see where I was going. But ain't it good that no matter where we're at or what we're doing, that we can get in touch with the Lord and the Lord can just bless us like that? Oh, it was great. It was great. And I want everybody here tonight to know what that feels like. There ain't nothing like it. You know, the world, you be going down the road and people see you crying and going on like that, they'd probably feel sorry for you. That would bless their hearts. Look at them. They're crying. Something's happened to them. Yeah, something happened to me, but I ain't crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because of the joy that's in my heart. That joy that the Lord put in it. It is real. And ain't nobody going to take it from me either. Ain't nobody going to pluck it out. Ain't nobody going to get it. What I've got, I'm going to keep till the Lord takes me home. And there ain't no man can pluck it out from me. The devil can't get me. He can't get me. Devil's got power. A lot of people don't believe that, but I'm telling you tonight, the devil's got power. But I know somebody's got more power. And I want to say this before I start, that it just hit me. I was in a conversation with somebody, you know, and I brought the day of Pentecost up several times as I've been preaching, just different parts and stuff of it. And of course, we know and we heard about how Peter, how he stood and preached that day to all those people from different countries, from different nations that had a different language, and he got up preaching and everybody understood what he was saying. Even though they spoke a different language, he wasn't speaking a bunch of jibber-jabber, but everybody that was present, no matter what language they spoke, was real. They heard it in their own language. And I was in a conversation just shortly after I got saved. When I had my shop down there in Franklin, I was in a conversation with this guy. He was a different belief. He believed in those that speaking in tongues, that it's a God that got a gift that God gives you to speak in tongues. And I asked him, I said, well, what's What's he give you that gift for? Why do you speak like that? Because I've been in a place and they done that, and I said it was never interpreted, and it was never told what was said, and I was so confused and saw the way these people act. Honest to you, it scared me to death. I was a grown man, I guess in my late teens, early 20s, but I tell you, the way they acted and what they did, it scared me to death. But I was talking to him about these that speak in tongues, and I said, why is this gift given you? I said, I want to understand. Because like I said, I hadn't been saved long. I said, I've tried to study it, and I said, what I've seen go on, it don't go by what the Scriptures teach. And I said, the day Peter stood and preached, everybody knew what was being said. I said, why does the Lord give you this gift to speak in tongues? He said, well, he said, the Lord gave us this gift to where we can talk to God and the devil don't know what we're saying when we're praying and the devil can't intercede. You know what, man? And I was young, but the Lord gave me enough knowledge that I could say this to him. Well, I tell you what, I have enough faith in my God that whatever I pray, he can take care of it. The devil can hear all I say and everything I pray. That I serve a God that is more powerful than the devil, and he can answer my prayers. I don't care if the devil hears them or not. The God I serve is more powerful. To me, it didn't hold up of what he was taught or what he believed in, because I serve a God that is more powerful than any devil and any false god that these other people, these idolaters that go after these false gods. I serve a God that is real, a God that can answer, and a God that's almighty and all-powerful. That's who I serve tonight. I just wanted to say that. I don't know why, but it hit me, and I just wanted to share that we serve a God that is almighty and all-powerful. Seventh chapter of Matthew, 13th verse. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there may that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do man gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name the many wonderful works? And then, and this is Jesus speaking here, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Started out here, the straight gate. The straight gate, people, is Jesus. You got to go through the straight gate. If you ever want to get into heaven, you got to put your trust in Jesus. And it says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The wide gate will lead you to destruction. The wide gate is where you're going to be condemned. You know, in John it says that you're condemned already. If you have been saved by the grace of God, you're already in that condemnation. You're headed on a path straight to hell because it talks about the gate that's wide. It's because you haven't gone through that narrow gate. That narrow gate is going through Jesus. Jesus is the only way that you're ever going to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way that you're ever going to know what the love of God is. The only way you're ever going to experience. You've heard about Jesus and you've known about Jesus and you've read about Jesus, and at Christmas time we have Christmas plays and we talk about Jesus, about the birth of Jesus, and at Easter time we turn around and we talk about the crucifixion and how he was buried, and the third day he was raised, the resurrection. You hear about them and you know about them, but do you really know them? Personally, do you know them in your heart? You can hear about them all day long, and you may know about them. And like these people that Jesus was talking about, they went out and talked about that, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In my name have not cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? You know, they're saying that Jesus said that they tried to work their way into heaven. They try to do things to get into heaven. I'm telling you today, tonight, that you can't work your way into heaven. You've got to go through Jesus. When Jesus went to that cross, the only way that you're ever going to reach God, the only way that you're going to get through God is go through Jesus. He is the way. He is that narrow gate. He is that straight path that you need to go through. There is no other way. There is no other name given among man that you might be saved. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Nobody else and nothing else. Only through Jesus. Amen. You got to believe with all your heart. With all your heart. As I was studying and thinking about these, that how he was talking about that they might believe with their mind. Over here in James, turn over here. You know who else believed? James told us. He wrote it down. Verse 19 in the second chapter, James here. It says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. See, the devils also believe. But you know what? They're not going through that straight gate. They're not going through Jesus. They're on the path of destruction. That's where they're at. Jesus tells us and teaches that hell was created for Satan and his angels. Did you hear that? Hell was created for Satan and his angels. Revelations in the 21st verse, and y'all have heard me read this, but I want to remind you of it. 21st verse, 21st chapter, 7th verse. Says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Bad people, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, these wizards and sorcerers that people put their faith in them instead of putting their faith in Jesus. But you know what? I left out one. I didn't read those scriptures as it's written. What did I leave out? Now, these were bad people, was it not? Murderers. But there's one that I didn't read to you, I left out. You know what that is? The unbelieving. Let me read it again and I'll put that back in there. Now this ain't my word. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see who you're included with, sinners? The unbelieving, those that have never believed with all their heart. You see what class of people that you're included with here? These people that are bad and evil. But I want to make this to you too. No matter what you have done, this is basically we're trying to point out what kind of people can go to heaven and how bad they are, but trying to let you know that those that are unbelieving, that hell's going to be your home if you don't get saved. But I do want to make this point, that no matter what you have done in your life, whether you've murdered somebody, I don't know if anybody here has murdered somebody, maybe you have. Anything that you've ever done in your life, I know somebody that can forgive you for it. That's how great of a God and that's how much of a loving God that we serve. That he's able to forgive those that have done things that are not right. But they've got to put their faith and they got to put their trust in him. So you that are unbelieving, there's hope for you. There's hope for you that the Lord can save you, but you got to get to the place that you need to get to that you might put your trust in him. I want to turn over here to Mark. James said the devils believe and trembled. Well, I want to back that up a little bit, add a little bit more to that to give you a little bit more understanding about the devils. Mark chapter 5. Said, then they came over into the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, among the skeletons, I guess, the graves. That's what a tomb is. That's where the dead bodies had been placed. And that's where this man lived at the time, among the dead. It says, and who has his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him up, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with the fetters, which is shackles, cuffs, Brother JJ knows about handcuffs, I believe, said fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, that they've been just broken apart. This man was literally just crazy, I guess, out of his mind. He said they were, and the chains were plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. He says, neither could any man tame him. They couldn't do a thing with him. Nothing. Said, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones, taking the rocks, taking the stones and cutting himself. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And I'm not saying that he worshiped him as we try to worship Jesus. He went and possibly just knelt down before him. Is all he did. But he said, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He begged that by God that he wouldn't be tormented by him. For he said unto him, this is Jesus, he says, come out of the man, thou hast unclean spirits. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was there high into the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. Jesus cast out these demons, the devils. There were several of them, which meant it was more than just the devil, maybe himself. But see, what you got to understand, the devil has got angels too. The devil's got angels that work for him. Do you believe in angels? I do. I believe in them. I've never seen one literally with my own eyes, but I've read about them. I've read about how they appeared to Abraham and Sarah, that was barren, an old woman that was felt she was too old to have a child. It says that angels appeared into her. Another time, angels appeared into Lot. Two angels appeared into Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, you say that's Old Testament. A lot of things don't go on nowadays like it did, that we live by the New Testament. Well, I live by both of them. I live by the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know why I live by them? Because they're both the Word of God. That's why I live by them. But in the New Testament, angels come on the scene. Who came to Mary? Who came to Mary and talked to her? An angel did. Who came to Joseph? Talked to him. An angel did. When Jesus ascended up to heaven, who was standing by and told him that he was going to come back? The angels did. Who opened the tomb up? It says that the angel rolled the stone back. The tomb that Jesus was in, that he was buried in. Said there was a great quake. Yeah. But it also says that an angel was there and rolled a stone back. Do you believe in angels? I do. Because they're in the Word of God. Do they still exist? I believe with all my heart they still exist. Have I seen one? No. But that's where faith comes in too, people. That's where the Word of God comes in too. I hadn't seen Jesus. I ain't seen him. But through faith I felt him and I know him. So I have faith and believe in reading the Word of God that I believe angels still exist. So when he cast out the devils, that was angels of Satan. We say we have protecting angels. I believe there are angels among us. I believe there may be even angels here tonight. I can't prove it. But I believe we have angels among us. A lot of times that we say we have protecting angels. And I've heard it so often, and this is my belief, that somebody dies and they say, well, they've gone to heaven, but they're looking down over me and they're watching over me. Well, I don't believe that. I believe if anybody's watching over you, it's God's angels, God's spirit. Because when an individual dies and goes to heaven, they're not coming back. Their spirit's not coming back. And they're not in heaven looking down upon their loved ones. Because if they was, their hearts would be broken. They would be sad for their loved ones. They would be sad for their friends, those that are lost. How could you enjoy being in heaven and being in that kind of condition, looking down on those that are lost and separated from God? I just don't believe you could do it. But God's word tells us that there is no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no tears. Which lets me know that people aren't looking down from heaven. They're serving the Lord and worshiping the God. They're serving Jesus. They finally laid their eyes on him. Those in the old days, back in the Old Testament times, Jesus hadn't been born yet. He hadn't come into the world. But I believe those in the old days, they looked forward to the Messiah coming. They put their faith ahead of that and looked at Jesus in the future that he was coming, and they got saved. I believe during Jesus' time that he walked upon the earth, that they looked at Jesus and they saw Jesus and they saw the miracles that Jesus was performing, and through them that they saw that the Son of God had come upon earth, that he was manifested in the flesh. God came down from heaven and was manifested in the flesh, people. And people got saved. They saw the miracles and the things he performed and they got saved. And then he ascended. And now how do we get saved? Because we put our faith and trust in him that he came and died at the cross at Calvary. People, he exists. He exists. He lives. Believe that. Believe that with all your heart. Like I said, we was talking about angels. I believe they exist. There's things that's happened in my life through the years that and I shared this one night with some of them in my class, that how I feel like I've brushed death so many times. And there had to be a greater hand in that. There had to be somebody that protected me. Even in my mother's womb, I was protected at 4 months. And some of y'all have heard this, at 4 months, I was going to have a twin. But at 4 months, my mother miscarried. And she lost that child. And she lost so much blood that during that miscarriage, they couldn't do a DNC on her. So they sent her home. She was laying on her mama's bed. See, they didn't do ultrasounds back then. They didn't have all these 3D images taking pictures of babies like they knew nowadays. But because she had lost so much blood, they sent her home. And she was laying on her mama's bed. And she felt me move. And she said, "Mama, I've got it." This is what she told me. She said, "Mama, I've got another baby inside of me." The doctors didn't even know it. And what I'm saying, that I brushed death even in my mother's womb, that if she hadn't lost the blood that she had lost, I would have been aborted. I would have been aborted. They would have taken me without ever knowing what they did until they did it. That close. I brushed death even in my mother's womb. There was times that I was out fishing with my dad. And some of you have heard this story. We sunk a boat out in Cumberland River, out off Gallatin Steam Plant, out in the main channel. We was up there where they generate, and I pulled the rope up. My dad told me about the boat leaking. He said, "We need to get out of here instead of going to the bank." He had an idea. Of course, he'd been drinking. He was drunk. He was going to try to get back to the dock. And I just remember pulling up that anchor and all that rope as fast as I could. And it was all piled out around my feet. And he took off, and we headed across the lake and headed up the lake, and this water is like 100 foot deep. Strong channel. And there's some islands out there between the main channel and where we were fishing. He said, "Buddy, it's like 10:30 at night." And he said, "Buddy, shine the flashlight to the islands." He said, "We're going to go." And I turned around, and I was 14 years old, and I took the flashlight looking for them islands that we could try to get to before we lost the boat. And as soon as I saw the islands, the boat just flipped sideways and it slung me out. I didn't have my life preserver on. I was crawling up on my life preserver trying to get on it, and I shined the light back to my dad, and he was climbing up on his life preserver, and I shined it back to the boat, and it was soon, it was gone. That quick. And you know, it never really bothered me. It never really scared me. Till I got to thinking about it a couple of days later. And you know what? I was standing amongst all that rope that I pulled up with that anchor on it. And as heavy as that boat was, and as heavy, as quick as it went down, you didn't have to take that rope and tie me up in it. You didn't have to take that rope and tie it around my legs. All my foot had to do would be caught in one loop. And that boat was heavy enough. And by one loop, it would have pulled me under. And I would have went down with that boat. There's another time And I was working at a place in Portland, Tennessee called Kirby Building Systems. And Kirby builds us all this big steel for these steel buildings and all this. And I was doing the inventory, and I was standing in between a bunch of steels just stacked up, probably 20 foot high. It was high. And I was taking inventory and writing down the numbers and stuff, and something just let me know that I needed to get out. And I'm talking about a place about like this that I was walking down between them. And I got out of there, and I hadn't no more stepped out of there that they fell over. Would have crushed me. Would have buried me. More than likely, I wouldn't have survived. In construction, I was in a ditch. I know how to use a shovel, Sister Susie, even though I turn trailers over or wheelbarrows. But I know how to use a shovel. Young, I was down in a ditch that was probably 8-10 foot high, cleaning it out where they'd already dug it out with the backhoe and getting the loose dirt and stuff out where they could form the footers and stuff like you need it to. But all of a sudden, I got this feeling something wasn't right. And I climbed out of that ditch, and I had no more got out of that ditch, and it caved in. I would have been buried alive. You know, that's how close that we get every day to death. You could be doing things that you enjoy doing. I was out fishing one night having a good time. Didn't catch nothing but an old carp, but I still having fun. But I've even in working, it happens so quick. But the point that I'm making, I believe there was angels out there. I believe the Lord was out there, and you know, even the Lord appears as an angel. I believe that's what the scriptures teach us at times, that even the Lord is God has appeared as an angel before people. You know what? I believe the Lord had something to do with that. Whether it was God's angels or whatever it was, but to give you that feeling or something that you need to do something. And you know what? I escaped danger. I escaped possibly death. Something took care of me. And I wasn't even saved. I don't understand it, but I was taken care of. I'm so thankful that the Lord loved me enough. And I'm sure there's been other times that I brushed death and car wrecks and everything else, but I'm so thankful that the Lord loved me enough and that He had mercy on me enough that He spared my life. That's mercy, people. You that are lost, you probably ain't faced the things that I've faced in life. You're here tonight because of God's mercy. That's why you're here. That's why you hadn't been taken out yet. Because He's given you one more opportunity to seek after Him that you might be saved. What are you going to do with it? You go throw it away? You going to reject it? I'm telling you, God's word tells us that hell was created for Satan and his angels. He has angels. Satan was cast out because he came up against God, and there was followers that followed after the devil, that they would rather be with the devil than be with God, and that don't make sense to me. But you know what? There's people today that evidently rather be with the devil than be with God. As a saved individual, that just don't make sense to me. Why would anybody want to die and be cast into hell? Those that have heard about it, those have been preached to, and they say, oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe nothing. I'm an atheist. Well, today they might not believe it, but one day they will. One day they will. and it's going to be too late for them. They can go through this walk of life till they take their last breath. And if they believe that, there's going to be a day that they're going to know that there truly is a true and living God. They're going to know there is truly a Son of God. They're going to know that there was a man that came down from heaven, manifested in the flesh, and gave his life. But you know what? If they refuse not to believe it, if they refuse to reject it, hell is going to be their home. You're going to hear it a bunch from me. Because you need to hear it. I pray that fear gets set up in your hearts. You need fear. The scriptures tell us, don't fear him that can kill the body but can do nothing else. But to fear him that can kill the body but also has the power to cast into hell. That's whom to fear. God is a loving God. He is. But he's a jealous God. And I'll tell you this, and it's not contradicting what I just said, but God does not send anybody to hell. What I want to say, if an individual rejected God, it's nobody but your own fault. You sent yourself to hell because you wouldn't put your faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God provided a way. He provided a way. And it's through Jesus. And it's not through works, people. It's not through works. It's not going out thinking, well, I'm a good guy, I'm a good girl, and I've done this, or I've even gone out in the mission field. You know, there's people going out to different countries in the mission field, and they don't even know who Jesus is. It's true. It's true. They're going out just like these people did. That's what these people did. I believe they were out in the mission field. I'm going to read that again. It says, many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? They'd went out. They thought what they were doing was the right thing to do. But I'm telling you, their hearts wasn't in the right place. They never really trusted Jesus. It was all works is all it was. It was all up here. It wasn't in here. That's where you got to get it, is in here. Depart from me, is what he said. I never knew you. Don't let it come down to that day that he's going to tell you, depart from me, that I never knew you. It don't have to be that way, sinner. It don't have to be that way. God provided a way, but he gave his only begotten Son. The narrow gate, straight is the way, Jesus. Jesus. If you want to reach the Father, you got to go through Jesus. He's the mediator among man. There's no other way. Whatever you're trying and you ain't got there, it ain't working. You need to try something different. What you got to try? You got to fully trust Him with all your heart. And sometimes it's hard to get there. It is. It's hard to get there. But I'm telling you, you can get there. Don't give up. Keep seeking them until you find them. And when you find them, you'll know it. You feel it in your heart. When I was going home today, going down Cemetery Road, I felt the love of my Jesus. It's real. What we felt in here this morning around 11, 11:30 to 12 o'clock, it went a while. We felt Jesus in our hearts. He is real. But you got to put your faith in him. Don't depend on anything else getting you there. Because it ain't going to happen. Me and Brother Miller's going to probably preach this through his whole revival, and as long as we live, we'll preach it. And the rest of these preachers that I know, that I have so much confidence in, till the day that we die, or till the time that we can't speak, whatever it might be, or till the Lord comes back, we're going to stand and preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard it. This ain't the first time you've heard it this week. But you know why? Go keep on saying it. Because it's nothing but truth. Believe it. Pour out your heart to him. If you ain't got to where you need to be, if you're still confused and you're trying to work things out, pour your heart out to him between you and the Lord. Brother Stroh. This altar's open. If you feel the need to come and pray, I beg you to come and pray. Once again, I'll tell you, get to wherever you need to get to, where you can feel like that you get in touch with the Lord. Whatever it takes, you need to get there before it's too late.
Number 145. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will obey if they'll only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell them for wonder a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.